Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
There are two categories. You have your legitimate people who think this is cool, that I want this for an Airbnb platform, or I want to have it as a, you know, guest house for my house.
Smart.
And then you have the whackers of the world.
My point is, I intellectualized even before the Me Too and all that, that this, from a business standpoint, would be pretty stupid for me as a radio personality who owned a bar to go around grabbing at waitresses.
Right.
I think it would have been
or
stupid.
Waiters.
Or waiters. Yep. You two suck. I'm moving on. And I called him and I said, oh my God, you're on the Food Network. When did you get that gig? He said, oh, I did a while ago. Oh, by the way, in the next segment, that barbecue joint. I said, yeah. That, just remember, when I was eating it, the barbecue tasted like
that.
I remember that.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody from Washington, D.C. and the west south of Florida, they'd say. The Mike O'Mara Show is on the air, and we're heard in great towns like Branford, Connecticut. I know something about Branford, but I can't remember it. Because I'm old.
Oh, okay.
Hunters, Washington. That's Washington State. Syracuse, New York. Home of Syracuse University, where my sister went.
Yeah.
Very, very good
And we
school.
All wanted to go, but yes. We didn't get in.
No.
Because it's the Harvard of communications programs. A little school known as Newhouse. And the Newhouse School of Communication has given us, I believe, luminaries like Mr. I hope I've got it right. Maybe Bob Costas.
I think you're right because it popped ahead from popped to mind.
Controversial figures like maybe Marv Albert too. He might have gone there.
Maybe.
I don't know. But you could
the greats have gone there.
There have been
the majority
great
of ESPN graduates.
And yes.
Who?
That was my Marv Albert. Yes. Yes.
Oh yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Omaha, Nebraska. McMinnville, Tennessee. The Mike O'Mara Show is on. Now, thank you for sending your cities to Rob Spiewak because you send them in. I don't care if you're driving through and you like the name of the town. Send it to Rob. If you're listening and you see a town, it counts. That's how we get this horrible opening feature every week. No, not Skaggsville again. But don't worry. Send a repeat in, it might get on. We don't check, so don't worry about it.
You seem very chipper on this Monday.
I am very chipper. Yeah. I'm very happy to be here, and we got a lot to talk about on today's program. We have major breaking television news because everybody's talking about it, and we also have a few comments here and there that I would like to share with you about bartenders. Because we went out on Saturday. We have date night, which is now become a regular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that. But we want to lead today with Oscar Santana, who made me chuckle right before we came in here. This was a last minute thing that just after 2 o'clock, Oscar said, I'm booking a guest for today. It's a guy who builds pirate ships.
Pirate ships!
Charlie, do you like pirate ships?
Pirate ships are great.
Yes.
And sells them for 50 grand. He's a local guy. And he does not Zoom.
Yes.
So we will not be Zooming. Well, that's probably old school. You know, he probably...
Yeah, a pirate doesn't use Zoom. He's off the grid.
He does what he wants to do. Let's bring the guy on. And first of all, before we do that, hold on, Pony.
Okay.
What can you tell us about this pirate ship idea to start our Monday broadcast?
I'm a man of action, Mike. And when I see something, I say something. And
did the fat real estate guy ever get back to you?
No. But we did follow up with him, though.
We have followed up.
Yeah.
We'll follow up.
That guy.
We'll catch him and kill him for 10.
He's that difficult. I knew he would be.
No, he's not that difficult. He just doesn't check his email.
Right.
We said... In a private off-air meeting, if you have something creative, bring it to the table.
Yeah.
And yeah. What I loved about a post about a pirate ship for sale in Virginia for $50,000 was that there was a phone number for the listing. And I said, how easy would it be to call this guy and see if he still has his pirate ship for sale and see what his story is?
They look like a pirate ship houseboat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I route it to Rob. Rob books him within, 2 hours of the show. And I said, make sure he still has these for sale. No spoiler alert. He has sold plenty of these. This is his 33rd pirate ship that he sold. And then I said to us, well, for $50,000, couldn't we take this road on the this podcast on the road and
the
see
water.
What that looks like?
Yeah.
Or the water.
Like go the you mean the rivers and tributaries of the great United States?
Yes.
By water?
Yes.
Travel the pirate ship?
If I could podcast from the Cape, anything's possible.
It's truly and truly amazing. Let's bring him in.
Okay, we're
this
dial
gentleman.
Him up now.
Oh, we're going to dial him
call
up
him now?
Now?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thought we didn't have him on the line. Oh, we're calling Daniel Corder.
I thought we had him on hold, but okay.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, Daniel. Mike O'Mara from the Mike O'Mara Show. How are you?
Hey, guys. I hear somebody R-ing in the back. Are they having a problem with
that? Yeah, it was one of our guys going R because the pirate ship. This is super fast. We're so glad you could make the time to join us on the show today because... I am looking at your pirate ships as we speak, and I've just got a bunch of questions for you.
Why don't we share a couple pictures, Pony, if you don't mind, for our audience at home?
Matt Bloom has started screen share.
Yes, there we go. This gentleman.
Look at that. Look at that. That's one of your pirate ships right there with, an owner of the ship and a guy that looks like he wants to be a pirate. Let me ask you a question, Mr. Corder. How long have you been making pirate ships?
Well, I've been doing this.
Turn them up a little bit to me, guys,
sure,
please.
Sure.
Yeah, over 10 years now. It's really just kind of an art project for me, a third grade art project, you might say. I was a firefighter in Loudoun County for 34 years, and I got tired of resuscitating people, and I started taking up resuscitating boats.
Okay, I get it. And thank you for your service with that, because that's
very welcome. Very welcome. Glad it's over.
Noble occupation, but stressful occupation as well. And do you have to have a particular kind of boat to turn it into a pirate ship?
No, I don't. To be honest with you, I have done these things on pretty much every platform. I've done them on houseboats and little power boats and sailboats, and probably one of the more interesting and eclectic ones that I did, there was a very small little day sailor that was this guy did was he contacted me, and he wanted a pirate ship in his swimming pool as a floating bar, and so I did one up for him, and it's guys, it's really nothing special. It's not anything that anybody couldn't do. It's just there's so many of these boats. I tell this to everybody. Boats are like people. When you're young and you're hot and you're looking good, everybody wants you. But when you get old and tired like me, nobody wants you anymore. So what I try to do is I try to take these boats that, are neglected or abandoned and breathe new life into them. And amazingly, all of these boats and the 33 that I've done, you couldn't have given them away. They were in such horrid condition. But I live down here in the Northern Neck, and of course I keep one that I made for myself. And a company up your way called MC Dean, they've got a big yacht that frequents the waters down around here. And I had a friend of mine that worked for me in the fire service was down for a visit, and we were out on my little pirate ship, and this, million-dollar-plus yacht that MC Dean owned came by us, and the boat stopped and turned around and came back close to get pictures. And the fellow that my guest who used to work in the fire department said to me, he said, Captain, he said, how much do you think that boat cost? And I said, well, gosh, it's probably over $1 million. He said, isn't that some He had to stop and turn around. He had to stop and turn around and look at your boat. So, I guess it's animated. I guess you had to bleep that out. But
that's fine.
That's all right. I got a million questions. Hold on a second. I got a million questions for you because I am looking at, it looks like, Pony, go back to that Surrender the Booty picture right there, which is that yours, first of all? Is that your ship?
Yes. Yeah.
That one is just so cool.
Perfect. Yeah.
And I want you to make a footnote for your listeners there too, because I get a lot of people come to my place here because it's called Pirate's Cove, and just to look at these pieces of junk that I resuscitate. And I want you to remember that says surrender the booty, not surrender your booty.
Your booty would be a totally different context. Like Thank you, Daniel, for the clarification on that. So somebody wants is there a type of individual? Do you have a type that, you know, how many of you sold, first of all? Tell me how many of you sold.
Well, I built 33, and I've
33.
Got one of them for myself, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you sold 32 boats. Is there, do you have a particular type of individual, this guy's definitely going to buy a pirate ship? Is there a typical customer?
That is a great question, and I hope I don't offend any of your listeners, but I guess I suffer from a mild form of Tourette's maybe that has been undiagnosed because things just come out of my mouth that I believe.
I believe that.
Here's the deal, and I've said this before, anybody can have a boat, but if you're the coolest kid on the block if you've got a pirate ship, and what's cool... I'm serious. I mean, but what's really cool about it is boaters in general. I mean, you get these guys that, you guys remember the Grease Man when he was popular in
yeah.
Buddy, and he used to use the big deal with the boats and stuff. Boats generally, guys, are holes in the water that you throw money at.
Absolutely.
To your question. One of the things that I feel real proud of that I do with these boats, because this boat is actually probably it is the highest priced one, because most of mine are very affordable. Some of them, I've got a pontoon boat now that's under $10,000 that I've turned into a pirate ship. But I guess what I'm saying is the people that end up buying these things, not all of them, but most of them, I've tried to teach them that you don't have to have a lot of money to have fun on the water.
That's cool.
That is cool.
And you can have fun and you can be safe. And can you imagine as eclectic as this boat that you're calling about this went viral? Can you imagine seeing that thing down the tidal basin with about 5 Trump flags on it?
No, that would be a problem. Clearly,
I want to sink it.
But that's just
me. But that's okay. I would say Trumpers are probably like the type of people that would really dig this, right?
Or podcasters.
Well, the cool thing about it is, again, it's you can do this to any boat, and. I think that's why you see such, places like Gasparilla and stuff in Florida that, I've got a couple of them that people have bought and take down there. But honestly, this is humbling to me. This is the second time that one of these boats went viral like this. And, it makes me, I'm 63 years old and
I'm 63 years old too, Daniel.
You were 59 was a good year.
Yeah, 1959, the year of the pirate builder
and disc jockey.
Exactly right. Right. But, I'm a widower and it humbles me that there are so many people that ask about these things. And back to your question, because this will really get a rise. It'll probably offend somebody, but they're actually, truly, and particularly when they go viral like this, there are two categories. You have your legitimate people who think this is cool, that I want this for an Airbnb platform, or I want to have it as a, guest house for my house.
Smart.
And then you have the whackers of the world. Now, you got to humor me on this, okay? My phone, and I would be happy to show you the pages because they exemplify why George Carlin was the smartest philosopher this world ever produced when he said there's a lot of f***ing stupid people out there. Because, can you imagine people asking questions like, does it float? Now,
I get it, because it's like, it's not the nautical thing, it's the pirate thing.
Right.
They want a pirate ship, and they don't know how to operate a boat. They don't know three things about a boat, but they want the skeletons and the I get it. I totally get that. I really do.
It's typical me. Some of these texts, you know, I've got so many of them, I can't respond.
You can keep going, Pony, through the pictures.
Yeah, but then some of them I just reply back to, and I go, really?
I look at this, and I see, I think you sell yourself short. Because I know you say it's repurpose. I know you say you take these, you know, valueless boats that nobody loves in turn. But it looks like you have a degree of skill with carpentry, because these are not... You know, these are not,
it's not
just
easy to
junk
do.
Boats. Yeah. They look like they've, you know, you got a system and you know how to do it from start to finish. And I know they're all different, but for an average build for one of these things, how long does it take?
Well, the one that you're calling about was probably the longest one. That one took about 3 months off and on. It was again, typical sad story. It was owned by an elderly couple who bought it as a lifelong dream to finish out their years on the water. And then, you know, kind of like what happened to my wife, one died and then,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. She was special. But anyhow, with that boat, the other one lost interest. The kids didn't want anything to do with it. So it was essentially abandoned at one of our local marinas down here on the Northern Neck for about 5 years until the marina contacted me and said, hey, you know, can you do anything with this? So, you know, I appreciate you saying that there's something special about me, but there really is not. I mean, you might want to nickname me Deck Screw Dan. I mean, all I do is I look at these things after I've had a couple of shots of bourbon, usually, and I look at it and I say, well, okay, what do I need to do to this boat to change it from your willy-nilly sort of every average boat to make it into something that's kind of, you know, piratey in your face that people would think is whimsical and that... You know,
that's the magic.
Yeah.
That's the magic, though.
It's fun. Yeah. And, you know, down here where I live in Southwest Florida, and this is just, you know, I've been on one of those
boats.
Pirate cruises. I think my son is, I'm a boater as well.
Yeah.
And my son, I think, has a birthday party coming up where it's the pirate cruise. And they actually have one of these that, and these places make bank
on
that. And they can use them. It looks like the one that we're showing pictures of, the one that went viral, that was probably kind of a houseboat type thing originally. Is that what it was?
Yes. And I'll tell you an interesting, again, that is kind of interesting story to see what people can do about these. I was contacted about a year ago by a really nice young man. He was he had been disabled, serving our country, and partially disabled, and he lived in Pittsburgh. And he had seen some of the stories about me on YouTube with these pirate ships and stuff. And he had a dream. He contacted me and he said, "You know, hey, I'm up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and they don't do any tours of the Pittsburgh rivers front here." And he said, "You know, we're the home of the Pittsburgh Pirates." And he said, I've seen your boats before. And he said, "You know, do you have anything that might work there?" And, you know, I told him, I said, "Well, you know, I think that's a cool idea." And I said, "You know, I've got them up in the Northeast and I've got these boats in Florida and, you know, Alabama and other areas of the South that people have bought." I said, "But I don't have one there." I said, "You know, I do have one that's built on a pontoon platform." And I said, "You know, if you want to come up and take a look at it, you're more than welcome to." So he did. He flew up here, and I picked him up at the airport, and he, you know, stayed at my guest house, and he fell in love with it. And the story that's behind this is that, like a proud parent, it makes me feel so good. This young guy hired a captain up there, brought the came back down, picked the boat up himself. You know, we got it all set up on a trailer for him and demasted it and everything. And he is operating that thing out of Pittsburgh. And if you can imagine, he was actually threatened by the Pittsburgh Pirates for logo infringement.
Oh, God.
Because his is the Pittsburgh Pirate ship. And, of course, you know, the ball teams is the Pittsburgh Pirate. But anyhow, he prevailed. despite being threatened and everything else like that. And he's doing great with it.
That's awesome. So he turned it into a tourism venture, and he's making a living. That's I love that story, and I love the fact that he prevailed over big baseball. Let me ask you one last question, because we got to let you go here, Daniel, and we appreciate you taking the time. But I want to, as far as the logistics, and you say you make them on every platform. You've used every platform. Is there, and I don't know even if you can answer this, but I'm gonna ask this question for people that might want to buy a pirate ship. But is there a perfect or a better platform? You mentioned pontoon boats, which I would think would be. If I find a beater houseboat or I find an old pontoon, is there a particular platform that you like to work on? I would think a pontoon would be pretty good.
Great question, and the answer is you're spot on, brother. Pontoon boats are the best. I've got one down here that I just finished up on that, and I'll tell you why I like pontoon boats for everyone. Number one, they are extremely stable. They're extremely safe because they're bulkheaded. They tend not to sink like other boats do. And, you know, what I do with them, I tend to, with pontoons, I make the masts hingeable so that they can be laid down for transport. But, you know, for family fun, and the one I made for myself is on if you had a film crew here, you couldn't show some of the stuff on it because there's some debaucherous behavior with some of the skeletons on the mermaid and stuff. But, the one
that's fun, Dan. It's all in fun, Daniel. Come on.
Yeah, but the one I made for myself is on that I will probably never sell and always keep is on a pontoon boat. And brother, that's a great question. Pontoon boats are the best, I think. Now, you know, you're not going to take those things across the bay or, you know, out on rough weather without getting beat up pretty badly. But to your question, I think pontoons are the best.
Okay. And as far as you are concerned, you've been nice with your time.
Thank you.
And obviously a lot of interest. If one of our listeners out there would be interested in, I mean, are you open for business? Do you do it on a first come first? How do you
want to
sell these things? We don't want to, you know, burden you if you don't want to be burdened.
No. Please, you can let everybody know. No, number one, I don't do it as a business. It's a hobby, and you know, the people that are interested can contact me. I'm you know, as you guys know, I'm being overwhelmed right now with a lot of legitimate concern, and then the whackers of the world that are
the whackers of the world. I like that.
God bless them. God bless them. They're wonderful people. But just tell anybody, you know, and it's not just that. I'm willing to help anybody with advice on these things. I mean, anything people can do to, you know, resuscitate these old boats is cool. But you know, my phone number is, I'm pretty easy guy to find. You know, they can either friend request me on Facebook and in advance. If there are any snowflakes that listen, I pre-apologize for anything that is offensive on my Facebook page.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm a tree hugging Democrat, so I like you. Yeah. I mean, so I think you'll be
it's
all
like
right.
An open-minded gentleman.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if you I mean, we're too divided anyway. So you know,
let's come together on a pirate ship.
Let's come together, and through pirate ships, we can bring the right and the left together in America, can't we?
Absolutely.
I think we can. And with cocktails and a pirate ship and mermaids, skeleton mermaids being banged.
Debauchery,
it'll be fine. Daniel, as far as Facebook, what's your handle? How do people find you on Facebook?
It's under Daniel Corder, Corder, and it's pretty easy to know it's me because it's a picture of me on my pirate ship, and it says retired firefighter and pirate ship builder.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, thank you, Daniel. Really fascinating. Cool talking to you.
Thank you,
good
man.
Luck with this. You bring people a lot of joy. And don't forget, primary day in Florida tomorrow. I remind you all, vote blue. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Daniel Corder.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much. Very, very cool. That is cool. That's very good.
Very
yay.
Cool.
Yay. We start Monday with pirates. And I noticed that boat, when Pony was showing pictures of it, had a platform and a pontoon would be.
I think, you connected because you knew about boats.
Yeah, well, the thing about any 63, and you know, and it's just like, it was funny when he said, "Can you picture that thing with jump flags all over it?" And I'm like, "No." Anyway, but I can actually. Yeah. They that's
I love
that's his wheelhouse.
I love that he calls the wackadoos whackers.
Whackers.
Oh, like, you also, does it float? You shared some common ground with George Carlin as well.
Yes, yeah, my favorite comedian, absolutely. Yeah. Very cool. You know, the pirates down here and down in Key West, oh my God.
It's an industry.
I would tell Daniel one piece of advice. He should move his base of operations from Virginia to Key West, Florida, where they have like the Pirate Festival. They have pirate festivals of
but
all
if,
the
if you had,
coastal
if
towns.
If you had a dock and, and money was not an issue, and you had, you know, you have little Michael. Wouldn't it be
And an ability to build a pirate ship?
Would you rather have a Boston Whaler or a pirate ship on your dock?
Oh, my God, that going away. I would much rather have a Boston Whaler. Oh. Anyway, that is...
What if we adapted the Whaler as a pirate ship?
No, that's okay. I've been on... You know what? The day I took little Michael, and this is years ago.
Yes.
When he was a bitty, little bitty, little bitty. And I remember it was the... I think it was in August. It was the surface of the sun. And Mrs. O'Mara and Mr. O'Mara had been out the night before, but we had promised little Michael.
Sure.
He's going to go on the pirate ship. And it's just water, and it was stifling, and there was no wind. And there's a birthday party. I know. I guarantee you there's a birthday party coming up that's going to be on the pirate ship. And they have all the, you know, the wannabe actors down there. We used to have one that listened to our show.
Mike.
Yeah.
That was Mike, you remember his name?
Well, because he used to be Mike the TV icon boy.
I thought he was a Fort Myers pirate ship. I mean, pirate.
He was the pirate.
The ghost pirate of Fort Myers.
I haven't heard from him.
I'm sure he's well.
I'm sure he's well. That's fantastic. That's so cool. So the guy's name is Daniel Corder, and check him out on Facebook if you want to buy your pirate ship. I think it would be, how would I describe purchasing a pirate ship?
Okay.
Purchasing a pirate ship. For a young couple, very much in love, would be, I'm trying to find an analogy here, where you buy something and you think it's a great idea.
It's great.
And then things go south and you've got that.
Is it like the War of the Roses?
Maybe.
No.
Who gets the pirate ship?
Exactly.
You don't understand. The reason I connected with the guy is you guys are fine up in D.C.
Yes.
I am in the belly of the beast. Down here, this is Pirate Ship Alley here. Oh. There's a little town next to Fort Myers, and it's called Cape Coral.
Yeah.
Or as Jimmy Cerrito once said, Cape Corral. And, further up the coastline, it's Punta Gorda, as Jimmy used to call Punta Gordo. When he came down and visited us and came in on a Saturday and said, I'm going to go drink with my buddy up on a Saturday. Yes. Just great house guests. But anyway, it was that area. It's canal. It's perfect for that. And the people down in that part of the world are this guy's people. They would love that.
You know, it's funny you brought it up. Do you think that there'd be anyone better on a pirate ship than Jimmy Cerrito?
No,
he's perfect for it. He would be great.
He'd be the chief pirate. But what I would want to do.
Chief pirate.
I might not go on the cruise.
Yes.
But I would get what I'd love to do just on an afternoon. I would like to go down to the beach at Fort Myers Beach, Fort Myers, Florida, in the reddest county in the state of Florida. And I would like to decorate my pirate ship with a Pelosi flag and an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez flag, AOC.
Uh-huh.
And who else is a dividing factor with that? Kamala Harris.
Yes.
It would all have to be diverse. Women,
yes.
Hispanic women,
yes.
African-American women, and fly the flags.
Mm-hmm.
And just take it out for an hour and go around.
Cartoon-sized flags.
Cartoon-sized flags and go right by the bars and go, hi, how are you?
Think they would try to sink us?
Yeah, you might want to load the cannons, Mike.
It would be hysterically funny. It really would. But then again, that's me. And, you know, Things That'll Never Happen by Mike O'Mara. That's the way it goes. God, we're running. I want to start something, but I don't want to. I'll give you my real quickie.
Okay.
Please.
I love Stanley Tucci, the actor. Love his movies.
Yes.
Big Night was one of his original creations, which I think is one of the best restaurant movies you will ever see. I've liked him in all sorts of different projects that he's been in. He played the wife of Julia Child in Julie and Julia.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. I like his acting. I love it. As far as a TV personality, they're kind of plugging him in on CNN to the slot that used to be occupied by the late, great Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
And Stanley Tucci comes across as an effete snob, even with the way he talks.
Yeah, he's smarmy.
They say in, right,
yeah,
Tony?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
I've seen it.
He's just got that. And even the show is just
it
like.
It doesn't make you want to visit anywhere because you think you can't afford it.
Yeah. Because he seems elitist with his scarf around his neck, and then he's touring Italy, and he's
chilly?
Just like, oh, this is really wonderful.
Is it an ascot or a scarf? Or is that
I don't know what
thing?
It is, but
well,
it's...
an ascot is tucked in.
Okay. He's an ascot.
Pony, I didn't know you were passionate about this particular...
It bothers
He's off-putting.
Yeah.
He's off-putting, and I love the body of work that he's done, but as far as this, when... These shows, the thing that made Anthony Bourdain amazing was that he motivated you to get off your ass and go to a country. And I have not traveled extensively, and I wish I had. It's one of my great regrets in life. Maybe later, before the final bell tolls, I'll be able to get a little travel. But the way he travels, I did it one time in Ireland with a whole family. He gets off the plane and he just goes. Now, he's got friends everywhere, but he's a big advocate for, and I believe you should travel like this. Fly to a cool place overseas somewhere, and then just get off the plane, get a hotel room, and then just explore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Instead of having tours or having a checklist where you see stuff, and you know, that's why I miss Anthony Bourdain and the way he traveled. And the other guy, we've had him on the show, oh my God, Andrew Zimmern, who is another great guy for exploring and trying new things.
Do you think Stanley Tucci should do an episode or a segment on a pirate ship?
I think Stanley Tucci would be a wonderful pirate.
I think so, too.
He's not,
but he'd be the fancy pirate, with the ruffles.
What's off-putting
like
that. Is that he doesn't make you, like, you feel like you're watching a movie. Like, this isn't a real person. This
right.
isn't.
He's not sincere.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, Anthony Bourdain, you know, first of all, I got a buddy. I don't think Mark would mind if I said this story. That these food people, God love them, the Fiettis, the Rachel Rays, the people that go into places. Now, it used to be the Food Network would run those shows all the time.
Right.
And they're more expensive than it is to set up a set in New York and bring in, you know, 10 failed chefs and say, this tastes like crap.
Right.
When they used to travel, and those were the shows I liked, when they would go out on the road, I still like, why do you think Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is like on 500 times a night?
Yeah.
Because it's people are interested in that.
Yep.
But I'll never forget when my buddy Mark was taping one of these shows, and I called him, and I said, oh, my God, you're on the Food Network. When did you get that gig? He said, oh, I did a while ago. It's fine. Oh, by the way, in the next segment, that barbecue joint, I said, yeah. That just remember, when I was eating it, the barbecue tasted like I remember that. I remember that. And it was just, and it speaks to, you know, what these people are about. So as you told me, Oscar, a long time ago, all is not what it seems when it comes to
reality
TV. It's not, you know, but the Stanley Tucci thing is just a little force. So that's all.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that. We've got lots of TV talk coming. Thank you to Daniel Corder and Pirate Ships. You know, can you imagine that? Anyway, that would be that'll be fantastic.
How about that? Okay.
not appropriate, sir.
There you go. Thanks so much. Yeah. And Greaseman, he was down here.
Yeah, I know.
He liked him. Yeah, he sure. Yeah, absolutely. We'll take a break. Come right back after this.
This is P1 Dirk Vastrick from Spokane, Washington, and I'm here today to talk to you about the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Dirk Man, he's a real cool guy from Spokane, Washington.
Take it from me.
Dirk Man, he has a creepy crush on Mike's wife, Carla.
The bonus show is easy to get. Just click the banner.
He has a wife, though we've never seen her, but we trust him because he's super cool.
All right, stop that. Click the banner at MikeOMaraShow.com. Get a subscription and never miss a minute of TMOS.
He's out there in Spokane doing God knows what, but he's probably harmless.
That's it. I'm done.
He's a bonus show subscriber who should be too. Visit MikeOmaraShow.com.
Very good, Twitch. I like that. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. How we care for our minds affects how we experience life. So it's important to invest time and care into keeping our minds healthy. There are plenty of ways to support a healthy brain, like learning a new language or taking power naps. There's also BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is professional therapy. It's done securely online, and it's available to people worldwide. You can log on to your account anytime, and you can send a message to your therapist. You can also schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you don't have to be on camera if you don't want to. Even better, it's much more affordable than in-person therapy. Now more than ever, I believe in therapy, and BetterHelp is always there for you. Best of all, they are accessible when you need them. Keep your mind healthy with BetterHelp. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/TMOS. That's BetterHelp.com/TMOS. And we thank them for sponsoring the Mike O'Mara Show. We are very, very grateful, and they're doing good work for people. So thank you, BetterHelp.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is The Homepage.
This is The Homepage, and we start today with Bennifer or Jaffleck or whatever the hell their name. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez.
Jaffleck is a clumsy. That's a clumsy portmanteau.
Jaffleck. They didn't just throw a party to celebrate their marriage this weekend. They got married all over again. And J-Lo wore a full-on wedding gown, train and all. Choo-choo.
She was wearing white?
I don't know.
Intriguing.
The ceremony went down Saturday at Ben's estate in Georgia.
Georgia. Georgia.
All their kids were there, along with celebrity guests, including Matt Damon. He was there. Jimmy Kimmel was there. Kevin Smith was there. Cool guests.
Yeah.
Jason Mewes. Why don't I know Jason Mewes?
He is the talking half of Silent Bob and Jay.
Ah, gotcha. Ben's brother, Casey Affleck, didn't make it due to, quote, family parental obligations at home.
Do you think it was because Ben said, Casey, you can come, but you got to not hit the bar so hard?
Look, with all due respect, and Casey Affleck has won many acting awards,
yes,
too. But don't you think Casey Affleck, just based on the movies, would be, it's like, Casey can't come, and everybody's like, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, the same day her ex-husband was getting hitched, Jennifer Garner was spotted at Sam's Club in South Charleston, West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Yeah,
how
buddy.
About that? She was with her dad and her boyfriend. That's, I don't know how I feel about that. My girl, Jennifer, you know,
up there at a Costco.
She's getting half of Affleck's cash. I think she's fine. She's shopping with his credit card.
No, she's not. Not anymore.
I saw a picture. She was holding up a box. She said, Ben Affleck bought these granola bars.
No, her membership card said Affleck.
Affleck.
Hey, I want to say thank you to the person that let me know. Oh, I'm sorry. The 450,000 people that let me know that Gary Busey was in trouble over the weekend. Gary Busey, this is gross. This is a weird guy. And by the way, we mock Gary Busey. We do a bit about Gary Busey. Okay. When you're sending me the message that he's in trouble, like it's a friend of mine, it just fits.
You
want to talk about off-putting, you know?
You didn't jump to his rescue?
No,
bail to Cherry Hill, New Jersey?
I just don't understand what I'm having here.
Yeah, that's
just like a little copy-feely, you know? That's what I do.
It got the promo retired awfully quick.
Yes, it did. Well, good judgment. See, I don't even have to call you with that, Rob. Gary Busey has been charged with inappropriately touching three women at the Monster Mania Horror Convention in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Mm. Last weekend, the women say Busey groped them, gross, during a meet and greet. He's been charged with two counts of criminal sexual contact, one count of criminal sexual contact, and one count of harassment. The convention says that after the incident, Busey was, quote, removed from the convention and instructed not to return. They're also asking anyone else who may have had an issue with Gary to come forward. Gary is 78 years old.
Oh, my God.
The one thing that was unclear to me, is he signing things or was he just attending the convention?
I don't know.
But he was a guest. Also,
oh, he was a guest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there any info, like, was he S-faced? Is that another thing that might have happened? Or
I didn't I heard nothing about that. From what I gathered, he was just groping women that were most likely in cosplay, you know, like fans that were getting a picture with him. It's disgusting.
You got a lot of detail for just looking into
it. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a thing, like, that's a big rule at any kind of con where there's cosplay, is, like, you can't just, like, grab a handful because... No. Some people will do that.
Were they doing Gary Busey cosplay? Were they like dressed as Buddy Holly? Or
that'd be
how
great.
How does that work?
The next one I go to, I'm going to have you. The next cosplay event that I attend, I'm going to allow you to grope me. I'm just going to stand there in my Buddy Holly outfit.
You
can come right up with big glasses.
It's a sad state of affairs.
It is.
When this man is 78. And he still has to go to, in fairness, cosplay conventions.
Huge.
To garner a paycheck.
Yeah.
Well, it's sad that he's 78 on any level and grabbing women.
This is alleged. We don't know for sure, but I'm
it's probably true.
He's got a history.
And also.
And he has a history with it. And he's 78 years old. Look, you can be so. I remember my old man. When he was in his mid-70s and he had oxygen and he would flirt with the waitress in the cutest possible way. He didn't grope her. Yeah. He didn't say anything inappropriate either. He said cute little things about her being pretty. And we thought it was the most charming thing in the world. But it's not like, is there a chance I can touch your bustier? Jesus Christ. When does the wiener get retired, Gary?
And to speak to
Oscar's, chop it off. It's probably dust anyway, you sick old fart.
To speak to Oscar's point, and also this is a cosplay convention in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Yeah,
it ain't exactly San Francisco.
I just thought he was more successful.
We're going to get to a point in time, all right? We're going to get to a point in time. And by the way, in my younger days, I've probably behaved in a way that would be very embarrassing when I've been flirtatious when I shouldn't have been flirtatious. But I'll tell you what didn't happen. And I owned a bar. And that's an opportunity. You know what? That's fertile ground for that type of activity. And I remember it was in the back of my mind as a business thing.
It's where you met your wife.
You know what? You're not
I'm
helping.
I'm going to kill you today.
You're not helping.
I'm going to kill you. He tries not to help me on purpose when I get all ramped up. My point is, I intellectualized even before the Me Too and all that, that this from a business standpoint would be pretty stupid. For me, as a radio personality who owned a bar, to go around grabbing at waitresses.
Right.
I think it would have been
or
stupid.
Waiters.
Or waiters. Yep. You two suck. I'm moving on. All right. If you've heard there was a Ferris Bueller spinoff in the works, what would you want it to be about?
Well, I thought it was going to be about Cam's son or an offspring.
I thought it was going to be about Jennifer Grey's nose job.
No, it is about, it's not about Ferris and Sloan's kids or what Cameron's up to now. Here's what you're getting. Sam and Victor's day off.
I am excited for this premise. I am excited for the premise because we never...
Because you're a mallet head. That's why you're excited
all
for this
insults.
Premise.
All these insults.
You really are...
That's love.
You know who this is? These are the guys that took the Ferrari for a drive out of the parking lot.
Joyride the Ferrari. Yeah. It was a great scene, but it was a scene. That's it.
Well, they...
Sam, why are you... Are you really or are you lying?
Well, think about the story arc of Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Mm-hmm.
The car is parked in a garage.
Right.
It creates a problem as there's mileage on that car.
Right.
The car gets destroyed.
Yes.
Where did those miles come from?
Well, Sam and Victor.
Yeah.
We see a shot of them.
Where did they go?
Yes. Bingo bango.
Yeah, let me give you I'll give you a ding for that one. Very good.
Watch out, Maverick Top Gun. Here comes another hit.
The movie will tell the story of their adventure when they took Cameron's dad's Ferrari for a joyride in the era. Oh, so it's a one-off. It's just a movie.
Yeah.
They didn't have names in that movie. They were played by Richard Edson and Larry Flash Jenkins, who died in 2019. Obviously, their parts will be recast with younger actors. I'm sorry, maybe 2 years after the original, but what are you doing 40 years after Ferris Bueller?
They have 2 hours, and they'll never top the shot of the music playing. I believe it's Star Wars and them coming over the hill and up in the air. That's so great. Leave it lay.
Let me give you some further context. It'd probably piss you guys off because you're really against all of this. They're remaking or they're making another Beverly Hills Cop. So we're going to see that soon for Netflix. Yep. We've got a National Treasure coming up. Don't know if it's going to be recast.
I heard that they'll only do it if Cage is on board.
Well, it's already being made.
See, I love the National Treasure stuff.
Crap. But I mean, nothing original. You know how much I hate that, by the way.
We're history buffs.
Oscar, I'm going to have a movie reco that I love so much, and I stand by this.
You love it so bad?
I love it so bad that I stand by it more than any movie I've recommended in a year. That's how much I love this movie.
Color or black and white?
Rob, may I continue with the news?
Yes, I wish you would.
Thank you. But thank you for showing up today. I appreciate it. Everyone knows fast food isn't healthy, but we keep eating it anyway. So here's a question.
Yeah.
How many years of your life would you be willing to give up to keep eating fast food?
10.
At this point, none, because I'm not eating it. So.
Well, you've already given it up, technically.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but I also gave 20 years of my life. So I guess I've already completed that deal. Sign here, said the devil.
Someone polled... Oh, you're killing me. Someone polled over 3,000 Americans, and the average answer was 4. They broke it down by state, and most states were between 3 and 5 years, but people in 3 states would be willing to give up more than a decade of their life. Montana, North Dakota... and Hawaii said 12 years.
Aloha.
The lowest average was 2 years in Alaska, Colorado, Maine, and finally, a good thing for them, Mississippi.
Mm. Mississippi always makes the list, though, somehow.
But you know what? You know what it is?
What?
Do you know what it probably is? And I include Mississippi in it. It's probably lack of fast food.
Mm-hmm. Could be. Could very well
be. Alaska, Colorado, Mississippi, and Maine.
Definitely for Alaska,
The wild. Mm. Poll also found most people would rather give up alcohol than fast food.
This is a sad story, Mike. Sometimes, you know what? When they make a movie.
It's close, too close to home.
Yeah, when they make a movie, you need a villain. There's too many villains here.
I get it.
I am the villain.
One in four people think eating fast food every now and then actually has health benefits. They might be right when you talk about a cheat day and you, then you reset you do it like that.
It's better than starving, I guess, to death.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay,
you got to be careful what you choose.
Yes.
And
you know what? Not like nuggets.
Not nuggets.
No.
Let's move on. Now a little something, something. Get printer ink, Mike. That's Mike talking to Mike.
Are they a little faint?
Oh no!
Oh no!
That's like
we'll be doing
what
did
that you
tomorrow.
Did you write it in
that,
lemon juice?
That's like a
what
light gray. Light gray.
And now a little something something. Threesomes appear to be gaining in popularity, and a study published in Archives of Sexual Behavior suggests that these arrangements are generally positive experiences for participants. The findings suggest that threesomes are particularly enjoyable for men versus women and for couples in committed relationships versus casual partners. Mm. People who engaged in an MST experience with a romantic partner also reported a stronger desire to repeat the experience than those participating without a romantic partner. The authors of the study propose a few explanations for this. Sexual activity between committed partners tend to involve better communication and a higher level of comfort than activity with a casual partner. Additionally, there may be an element of bonding and thrill that occurs among couples that engage in MST experiences together. Finally, threesomes that include a committed partner might be less likely to violate social norms and less likely to elicit stress and guilt. By the way, MST stands for Mixed Sex Threesome.
Okay.
Unless you're in the O'Mara household where we use the acronym NGH.
NGH.
Never going to happen. Thank you very much. There it is. We got to take a break. Come on now. Are you playing the thing? I can hardly hear it.
Here.
What the hell's wrong with it? They're There it is. We'll come back with something because that's what we do. You're listening to the Pirate Ship Show.
Arr!
The Mike O'Mara Show. Yes, R. That's not a cliche.
No.
I don't care what people say. Oh. We'll be right back, everybody. You had a savvy marketer. That lady was loving her buzz.
10% apple.
New from the O'Mara Distillery. It's TMOS Orange Smash. People are talking about TMOS Orange Smash. People like Carrie Spiewak.
I wanted to say boys and guys.
Delicious.
Take a sip.
Wonderful. Good. Refreshing.
Intoxicating.
That's a creepy little camera right there.
You guys, you need to get this stuff.
Mami, perdón, me están haciendo tomar, no quiero hacer esto, pero tengo que hacerlo.
What are you yelling about?
What are you drinking down there, Joe?
New TMOS Orange Smash. It's not available anywhere, but for everything else, go to the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. Shop online and give the boys a little taste, you cheap drunken.
Got my
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because right now is the biggest sale of the year where all smart beds are on sale with 50% savings on a 360 limited edition smart bed. It's a great time to discover adjustable comfort for both of ye. Sleepers who use their 360 smart bed technology enjoy 28 minutes of more restful sleep per night. That's up to 170 hours per year, which is nice.
Nice.
As summer winds down, it's a time of transition. Whether it's back to school or back to the office, quality sleep can help everyone in the family reset to their new routines. So gradually, adjust your new bedtime by 10 to 15 minutes a night. Prioritize your new schedule. Get your bedroom to between 65 and 68 degrees. Not going to happen in my house.
Really?
Sorry. Yeah, it's hard. It's hot. Oh. And reward yourself with quality sleep. The ultimate in self-care. And if you really want the highest quality sleep, please be like me. I have a Sleep Number bed. You should have one, too. I wouldn't sleep on anything else. It's fantastic. My Sleep Number setting is now a 65. Actually, nope. I have a bad back. I tweaked it to 75, so my back will be good as new tomorrow. And Carla remains steady, healthy, at a 65. Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because every great day starts the night before. Discover special offers now for a limited time at your local Sleep Number store or at sleepnumber.com/TMOS. All right, Dragon Show, Dragon Show. I want to hear about the Dragon Show. Now, Rob has DVR'd it. I have DVR'd it. But Oscar, he dove in and he watched it. Giants were on preseason last night.
How'd they play?
They played pretty good. I mean, it was a pretty decent showing by
going to the
Mr. Joe.
<What's>, going to the bowl?
No.
No, not a chance.
No.
And then their star defensive player went down clutching his knee, which is a standard thing for all Giants rookie stars to have happen. You know, it's like, oh, who's the guy that got hurt? Oh, the superstar that they drafted. That's the guy that got
not
hurt.
Not so hard.
Oh, quick, before we get to Oscar and the Game of Thrones prequel, for the NFL Network, hey, you know, Amandia, I know you cheap it out. You cheap it out by saying preseason football on the NFL Network, and you farm it out to like a local telecast of the preseason game
where
you have the local crew.
Yeah.
And it's not a good television
program. It feels
program.
Cheap.
It does.
It feels so, especially with all the millions and billions of dollars they pour into the NFL on the networks. You know,
I remember the Washington football team when they used to farm it out, and they had like two graphics they would use. That's it. And one was
they have like Rigo and Johnny Holiday. You know, that would be the.
Let's go to Chick Hernandez to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, you got me. Can you hear me,
Johnny Holiday?
They're looking good.
I wonder why. Like, and I am curious. I don't like. I like seeing Theismann on those broadcasts. That was always fun.
Yeah,
Joe was a national broadcaster, so he added a little bit of that. And it mostly look as far as Washington was concerned. Mm-hmm.
Solid market.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, the New York Giants telecast.
Or if you go to, I don't know if they're feeding us the Bengals coverage. I don't know.
No, they were feeding us the Giants coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, it just wasn't, it just felt
Some
cheap.
Of these
You're
feel
absolutely
cheap.
Right.
Some of these
feel cheap. Were ONA still calling the game up there?
Yeah. And there's the tackle.
Oh! I'm over here now.
House of the Dragon did not feel cheap.
Okay, I've heard good things.
This is the feeling I had. I felt like it was homework because this is going to be the biggest show in the world and for some time, the hype leading up to House of the Dragon, which is a prequel. If I have this correctly, they do a great job at the beginning of the program to set the stage of this is chronicling the House of the Dragon 172 or 174 years prior to Game of Thrones.
All right. Can I stop you right there with that? Because I listened to CNN this morning, parent company of the people that produce it.
Yes.
So they were gushing a little bit, but they did that same spiel where it takes place 107. Do the Nerdniks, are they playing to the Nerdniks? Because I like the TV program. Mm-hmm. I like the Game of Thrones. But I don't really care about the backstory.
I need to know
much.
That. I need to
you
know
need
that.
To, and I'm not you're a nerd.
I'm not
when
a
it
nerd.
Comes to
and
that.
Also, I just followed the series.
From what I've scanned, you know, I didn't follow Game of Thrones like you guys did. I watched a few episodes here and there, but they say that at least
because it didn't have like James Coco in it or something. Didn't have Chico Marx.
What
in
was
it. That's
off
why
putting
you
to you again? The gore.
It was an unpleasant show. But the thing is that they say this series stands on its own. You don't have to have an understanding
of
what happened.
But they set the stage very early to make it clear of when this is happening.
Marx in it? I'm unclear.
No, don't sully this with
no,
your
but
old
you don't like anything that's like modern.
That's
you
not
like
true.
Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, establishes the rise and really a new series, which I got to tell you, I am all in. My wife came down and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm watching the new Game of Thrones, spinoff. And she said, well, I wanted to watch it too. And I said, well, you're too late. Moving on.
Did she say, ow, my wrist?
No, she walked upstairs and I said, you can watch it on your own. We're
just
good.
Checking.
So,
but it hurts me.
She watches everything on her own and then picks what she wants to share with me. And I'm like, I'm not waiting for this. This is homework.
I have two. All right. I was not a big one on the story. Didn't really care about the story. Okay. Didn't care about... I have two questions. How is the violence and how is the sex?
The violence is a 10. The sex is a 10. You'll love it.
That's all I need. Yeah. That's all I need. I'm good.
I heard
That's
it was excessively
like.
Gory.
Not for men with hair on their chest. It was great.
I don't like the mysticism. I like the violence.
Yeah. The violence
I like
is
the
there.
Gratuitous violence.
It is
like,
over the
I'm
top.
Honest about it. I do. Yeah. I like fighting in hockey.
I have to fast forward through one as a man who has hair on his chest. Spoiler alert.
You had to fast forward through a scene?
Through a scene. The birth of a child was horrific.
I heard that from another source as well.
Who's your other
source?
Does
this make
Charles
me a monster?
Burney.
Oh.
Yeah.
Does this make me a monster when I say, if I went through the rest of my media for the rest of my life and didn't have to hear a newborn crying, screaming baby, I would be very... Like, I'll give you the baby sound that I... classic example... Untouchables, old movie, Kevin Costner, in the train station with the baby that's just on.
Makes
and
you a monster.
On.
It makes you a monster.
It makes me a monster?
Yes, yes.
There's nothing I think a baby laughing is the greatest sound in the world.
It doesn't make him a monster. You would hear your own child cry. That's okay.
Well, he hears that all the time.
Yeah, but not anymore. But
he's nine.
No, because you're just a monster, that's why.
No. All the crying
no,
in my
I
house,
just don't. I would fast forward through that too. Is the point I'm trying to make?
It was too. When you see, I don't want to give anything away. When you see why I would fast forward through it, it wasn't the birth of a child, Mike. It's the context behind the birth of a child and what is happening.
He had his father's eyes,
and you know what I'm talking about. It's too soon to share.
Okay, too soon.
So 10 out of 10?
10. The violence and the gore. And the sexuality, 10 out of 10.
How does it stack up against an excellent episode of Game of Thrones?
Well, you can't compare the two.
Well, you can if you try. That's why I asked the question.
Well, I'm a purist. Game of Thrones is a different show. The artistry, the cinematography, the actual, the deviant storylines of people trying to gain power, that was on brand and on par.
Okay, so it's
right.
as good.
Well,
it's,
as good.
Sounds like it's a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Before we get out of here, one little TV, just to get them all together, because I don't want to do two TV segments on one show. That would be irresponsible. But I will tell you this, that Run, Don't Walk to this movie, 13 Lives, the true story told in cinema of the Thailand boys that were caught in the cave and were rescued.
It's a Ron Howard picture, right?
It's a rom-com?
Yeah, that was going to be my kicker.
Oh, I thought it was a rom-com.
Be my thing. No. It was, Yes, it's a Ron Howard.
Okay,
movie.
I'm sorry. I was trying to place it
mentally. I know. But it's. I didn't know that
Mortensen's
until.
Viggo Mortensen's in it. Jesus.
I didn't know that until the end, Rob. I saw that and I went, well, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is so good.
Colin Farrell.
When you tell a true story that everybody knows the answer to, that it knows what happened, and you still make it as compelling as it was. And by the way, I don't think the world knows just how incredible a story it truly was and what was involved and the details. And it is spectacular. Colin Farrell, Viggo Mortensen. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely, if you want to feel great, you really want to feel good, watch that movie. It is fantastic. And Rob, the reason I got teed there was because at the end, I had no idea. And right after the it fades to black, they give the little facts of what really happened. And then it says, directed by Ron Howard. And I went, of course.
You want to talk about stepping on it because
a guy that still has it.
Yes.
And a guy that still does. And he did Apollo 13.
Yeah.
So he's got the storytelling thing. He doesn't just have to do Cocoon, that was his first smash movie. The man is just, you know, you think about it, you don't miss. I think the great directors, they don't miss a trick. And I mean that by
they
don't punt. Every bit of storytelling makes it clear. Yeah. You know what you're looking at. You feel a natural rhythm with it. And man, oh man, oh man. Oh God, what a story. And it makes you realize that, God, in the United States, with all the buffoonery and the blabbermouths that we have and the people like Alex Jones that are just taking our humanity down the toilet, you realize that around the world, people can get together internationally and do pure good. And I got news for you. We're all flawed.
The
characters in this particular movie are flawed as well. Not dramatically so. He didn't overdo that. But they're not totally the greatest people in the world. It's real. I cannot possibly tell you. I don't remember the last time I watched a movie in its entirety within 24 hours. And I did with this because I wanted my wife and son to watch it.
Wow.
I think it's called 13 Lives. I'm pretty sure it's called 13 Lives.
Had a career without misstep as long as Ron Howard?
Please check it out. It'll make you feel so good.
Direct Backdraft? It's crazy.
Yeah,
he's a great director. He really is. And just check it out. That's great. So that's two things
also
you got
did
now.
Ed
hey,
TV.
We're getting Ed TV.
That was a
we're
window getting, into reality television.
It was. Absolutely. That's time.
We're going to get an Orange Smash update when we come back right here just to find out how. Boy, do our listeners, if they like one thing, I'll tell you what it is. We'll update you on that when we come back right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa.
The fields and stadia across America are silent for the moment. However, on practice fields, the teams are beginning their march towards glory for a shot at the championship in Glendale, Arizona this coming February. Another football season is on the cusp. And a solitary figure is in the West analyzing the statistics, schedules, and teams, ready to make his voice heard. The prognosticator of Perump is returning.
In the no, baby!
This fall on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Regular season, we'll be joined by Nicholas Diamond,
yes.
I certainly hope. It's summer. Lighten up. Not light them up. Lighten up.
Yes.
Dadgrass is great anytime. It can help you chill out before a big meeting or be the replacement for that evening glass of wine. Dadgrass is legal organic hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Dadgrass CBD products are made with 100% organic hemp. It's easy to dose and the effects come on smooth. Try their token smokable pre-rolled joints or, if you prefer, hemp flower or their selection of CBD tincture drops. Whether you are looking for a new buzz or chill way to enjoy an old favorite, Dadgrass will leave you in a euphoric mood. All Dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS to check out their products. Right now, Dadgrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dadgrass.com/TMOS. Go to dadgrass.com/TMOS for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/TMOS. Yes, all over social media all weekend. We don't get paid for it, but we are influencers. Mm-hmm. And people went bat-ass over the Orange Smash and Fried, you know, who is just the giver.
Yes.
And I forgot what his was like. I mentioned we don't get it down in Florida, and some guy had one of those variety packs of all the flavors was holding up an Orange Smash, and all I wrote in the thread was, send it to me. And it's like, can't do it. And another guy, you know, wrote me, Mike, I tried the thing that I don't ship. It's caught the imagination. You have the grapefruit. You weren't able to get the orange, correct?
Yeah, I got
correct?
The grapefruit and the smash on the beach. Yeah. This is the... the disconnect between Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. And for those of you not in the area, it's essentially the same state. Like it's the same process. They have different rules for alcohol. And I feel like the 7% Orange Smash and the 7% Grapefruit Smash and the Smash on the Beach, all of those are available anytime in Virginia. The 10% Orange Smash is not available in Maryland. Either they made less of it, or it's just tough to get now.
Mm. Now, it is my opinion that this can go two ways. This can either be a distillery that, you know, goes hack and they don't change anything, or a little viral video can change demand. Everything. And they can respond to it, and suddenly you see it everywhere. It happens occasionally, and it doesn't happen.
I have a prediction about it that I thought about over the weekend.
Is it Maryland based, or
I think they're Virginia based?
I know, I get it. They're Virginia based, but is it because of the 10% to 7%, or is it
blue laws?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But my prediction is that if this continues on a national scale, they're going to be absorbed by InBev or
they already have been.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, they're owned by Anheuser-Busch.
I did InBev. Not know that. Okay.
They are?
Yes, they've already been acquired.
Well, what the hell if they've got the big distributor? Get your crap together, you morons. People want this stuff. My listeners want this. And I want to advertise. If we can advertise Dadgrass, are we allowed to advertise booze on this show?
Yeah, our audience is old enough to do that. Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
It's 25 above.
25?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're kids that listen to this show. What do you mean? What are you talking about? I don't know what the rules are.
If I'm not mistaken, you have to have like above 70% of your audience that is above the drinking age.
And to be able to sell booze on a podcast?
To be able to advertise any type of alcohol.
Really?
Yeah. That wasn't the case on radio.
No, you guys had a demo of 2554. That was the case on radio. Yes.
Was it?
Yes.
Did we sell booze on the radio?
Well, we sold beer.
You did Heineken promotion. We
beer
all did
and wine,
this. Like,
yeah.
If your average age is 2554, you can, they have... they have, so the, like a top 40 station that has 18 to something, they're not going to be able to advertise the way that a guy talk station is going to be able to advertise any type of alcohol.
All right.
Well, if they're out there, you know, Big Beverage is, you know, one of those people that
big
like
smash.
Big Car.
Yeah.
Big Car, Big Beverage. You don't see that on CNN, on Sirius. You don't hear that. Yeah. I mean, they just don't.
There are certain
That's
rules.
Not the way they are, you know, we have, Oscar would be able to answer it, you know. It would be an interesting maybe one-off sometime with Oscar on a bonus show talking about what advertising is for podcasts and the kind of people that we get and how it works and what they do.
We've had people come to us, you know, in different iterations, and then the legalities of this changed a lot in the last 10 years of what we can and cannot do,
right?
And that comes with metrics, right? And that comes with our average listener type. But we've always fallen into, because of our heritage listenership, into a higher demographic that is the money demographic. It's not, you know, kids, that we can do a Dadgrass, we can do an alcohol, we can do one
bed
of these
pans.
Options. Yeah. Bedpans. I think that's, we're not there yet. We're not there.
Crutches.
Okay. Just another 10 years.
Walkers.
Crutches. Yes.
But hearing aids.
But our
yes.
audience.
And no Clearasil, no carefree sugarless gum.
Not anymore.
This
not
is the
anymore.
Powerhouse of our audience. It's the average household income of our audience is, I mean, we have extremely successful listenership.
We do. That's why we're able to have these success stories. Mm-hmm. And our, and this is to InBev or whoever the hell owns them. Hey,
yeah.
Mr. Big Beverage, the Mike O'Mara Show listener is craving your Orange Smash, and you are not servicing your customers. They want it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And can you think of a better beverage for the Orange State? I'm not talking about California. I'm talking about FL.
Yeah.
Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
all right?
Get it down there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, really. Come on now.
And one listener wrote, you can taste the vodka. You can. Two of
you
them.
You can taste the vodka?
Two of them. I had two of them on the show. On the show this past Friday, the bonus show. I was wrecked by the end of that show.
Yeah, and speaking Spanish.
Yeah, and I was like asking my mom for my favorite meal as a child. It was very embarrassing.
True question.
It worked out.
We noticed that you were a little off on Friday. Was it hard with him being in his cups? First show, I believe, since you have been sober 5 months, that we had one of the principals getting tippity-lickety on the show. Did that bug you a little bit?
It was hard because his timing was so off.
You're not giving an honest answer.
No. Honestly, swear to God, no. It was great.
Right. You seemed upset about it.
No, it doesn't bother me.
You
at
were
all.
A bit of a pain in the ass on Friday. Just a tiny little bit. And I thought it might be, because it's tough,
Yeah.
Well, especially on a Friday, right?
I know. And you know what? I apologize for the fact I went back and you know what? I should take this moment to formally apologize. You were right about the conjunction junction.
Oh, it's too late for that.
But.
Just kidding.
It did.
Could have used that Friday.
Yeah.
Well, it soured my weekend. I felt very bad about it.
Well, you would have had a lovely weekend if you had called me Friday.
Yeah, and just said, hey, man.
You don't like when I call.
I do like when you call to apologize.
Yeah, everybody wants that.
But, my God, it would have been wonderful.
Because you were so adamant about us being wrong. And then I fell to the dark side. I fell to your side. I was like, I think he might be right. And then Pony came in.
And then I was rescued by a man named Bloom.
Yeah, Bloom came to your rescue. Bloom came to your rescue.
Who really, I know it's going to happen. I'm going to say this, and it's going to ruin it. But would I be wrong in saying he is on a bit of a win streak for him?
Yes.
A bit of a win
streak. On the show, not off the show.
That's all I need. Now we can break. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Oh, I'm such a sick F. That makes me smile. I don't know why. Well, tomorrow I'll tell you why good-looking bartenders annoy me.
Good.
Really piss me off. It was Saturday night. I don't know what's wrong with me. Maybe I'm old and jealous. We got to take a break. We will come back with the Town of Sound right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Looking for a way to beat the heat? Then try a refreshing serving of the latest bonus show.
Merv, what are you doing?
I'm doing the show. Do you mind bringing me another one of these sodas, the special ones I got?
I'm reading off the internet so I can sound smarter.
Did you see the new Papa John's bowl?
I was 2 pounds up when I woke up this morning.
It's hitting me. This is my first one.
I didn't want to say anything, but I had to say something.
Mami, perdón. Me están haciendo tomar. No quiero hacer eso, pero tengo que hacerlo.
Bolivian man with a giant soda buzz.
I'm the hammered one.
The TMOS bonus show has a taste that refreshes during this no-bummer summer. Get a subscription and laugh the day away at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mom, get off the internet.
Let me tell you, Mark Riddell and Jim Amato, busy weekend for you guys. Thanks for all the great stuff. That's wonderful. Welcome back to the show. You may be wondering if right now is a good time to buy a home. It's crazy out there. According to my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, it's a great time to buy a home. Inventory is back to pre-pandemic levels, so it's a great chance to marry the house, but date the rate.
Mm-hmm.
That means as rates change, you can lock in now to protect against higher rates. And once you're locked in, if rates go down, refinance, baby.
Baby.
Come on. Your mortgage can go down to lower your monthly payments. Residential lending has changed. And whether you're a first-time home buyer debating a rent versus own, upsizing, downsizing, or anything in between, you need a team that knows your specific options and can get you the absolute best deal. With their years of experience, customer service, and low rate guarantee, these guys are the absolute best. We've used them. We know they're our friends, and they've done all of our loans. Whether it's a purchase or refinance, call Cornerstone First Financial today, the number one mortgage company of the Mike O'Mara Show, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. And thank you to Mark Livingstone and all the good people at Cornerstone.
Sound. Sound.
We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound Town.
Mike, are you familiar with Pastor Carlton Funderburk?
He was, he married my first wife and I.
Well, he's off to another adventure. He is now preaching at the Kansas City church called Church of the Well. And he went viral over the weekend when he...
Church of the Well?
Church of the Well.
Yeah. So he only ministers to people that are healthy?
No. I think it's the well, like a water well.
Oh, I know. I'm so sorry. Now I understand.
Or it's Church of the Well.
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. He went viral for scolding his parishioners because they didn't give enough offerings that he could buy the watch he wanted.
I'm not worth your McDonald's money.
Come on.
I'm not worth your Red Lobster money. Y'all can't afford it no how. I ain't worth y'all Louis Vuitton.
Come on.
I ain't worth your Prada. I'm not worth your Gucci.
Come on now.
Movado. You can buy a Movado watch in Sam's.
Yes, you can.
And y'all know I asked for one last year. Here it is the whole way in August. I still ain't got it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Let me kick down the door and talk to my cheap sons and daughters. I know you still poor, broke, busted, and disgusted because of how you've been honoring me.
He did not get his Movado watch, Mike.
Wow. I mean, that's just about as naked and greedy as I've ever heard of. Pastor?
Pastor Carlton Funderburk, and that's Funder, not Thunder. Funderburk apologized after the fact.
I apologize to every preacher and pastor. I have also privately apologized to our church, who has extended their love and support to me. I deeply regret this moment.
Yes.
And I solicit your prayers and your forgiveness. Right. Thank you. God bless you. Go with God, and he'll go with you.
That guy.
Yeah.
No, not okay.
Both sides of the coin.
Let me explain guys like that, okay? And look, I've made a career out of it. We've had fun with preachers from the Jim Baker
days
all the way to now. This is what I think, all right? And I don't want to say think. This is what I kind of hope, all right? Say there is a man upstairs or a woman upstairs or a transgender person upstairs. Whoever's upstairs when we go to the great reward, as some people call it. And a guy like that pastor will be there. And he'll be wearing his, you know, he will go to heaven in that suit.
Yes.
And he'll get to the gate and say, I'm Pat, what's his name? Pastor Funder.
Carlton Funderburk.
Funkburger.
No, Funderburk.
Oh, and then he'll be like, I'll do God's voice.
Please.
Oh, it's Pastor Funderburk right over there. And then he'll point at him and he'll go. And he just, and then the suit just crumples.
And then like, a Movado watch drops on the suit.
Yeah.
And God, exactly. And then you hear God.
God has a sense of humor. I love it.
That's it. Yeah.
All right. Big weekend this weekend, Mike. They awarded the mullet championship to an 8-year-old.
That's great that it's a kid. Fantastic.
And it was in Wisconsin. He's 8. Here's his dad and the winner, Eric and Emmett Bailey, talking about how great it is to win the mullet championship.
I mean, athletes and rock stars, they have mullets. I mean, it's pretty cool. He has went viral, and I can't wrap my head around it right now. He is worldwide. The intent from the get-go is just to have fun with it, and it has been wild. Everyone keeps asking, are you going to cut it off when the contest is done?
Why would I do that?
Duh.
There's the kid.
Yeah. Why would I do that? F you. Know
they're going to use their mullet money to buy a pirate ship.
Hey, call Daniel Corder.
Now, I have a hard time not playing this because I love David Spade so much. Before they had the competition, they had all of the entries up online. Here's David Spade reviewing all of the people, the youngsters that had mullets.
Oh, because he was Joe Dirt,
because
right?
He was Joe Dirt, one of the most famous mullets in the world. So here's David Spade talking about the kids.
Rusted, this cute little goat roper. I like the poofy hair. I like he's holding a little fish or drumstick. Blank stare, pretty studly. Landry, flag carved in. Oh, I don't know if that's legal. But you know what? This little mugshot's good. A lot of frecks, good smile. Billy Doo, this tank. Oh, he means biz, dude. He's hitting dingers. Look at how huge those shades are. Terminator. Epic. Different shades. Nice. Interesting. Hawaii shirt. I don't know if I'd go with that. All winners to me, though.
All winners. They're all winners.
That naturally. Go see David Spade. Love funny, it. One of the funniest men in the world.
All
absolutely.
Right. In Georgia, parents were arrested for having meth. But it's not just having meth. It's where they had the meth in proximity to their toddler.
Not only was there a two-year-old child in the car, the drugs were found in very close proximity to a Happy Meal box, which makes the whole thing worse.
I only played the Georgia tape, Mike, so I can say, meanwhile, in Florida...
Oh, next door neighbors!
A cameraman was out shooting some video, and he was attacked by a... How big would you say is a big gator? When does a gator qualify as big? Like
3 to 4 feet.
This is a 12-foot gator.
Ooh, oh, it's a Goliath. Monster. Mm-hmm. A terrifying monster. I've seen them almost that big, and they are prehistoric.
They interviewed this guy after the attack. His face is just a medley of stitches. His jaw is wired shut. But here's the thing.
I saw this guy.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is amazing.
They had it down here.
Oh, here's the thing. He swam to the dock, got out, flagged down a car, and made his own 911 call.
Wow.
He said, if this lady has to drive me to the hospital, I don't want to be a burden. But here he is talking about the attack. Remember, his jaw is wired shut.
All I felt was scales, teeth, and then right there I'm like, oh, okay. So I immediately tried to open its jaws because I knew I was in a gator. Either I turned it or it turned me, but it was confused just as I was confused. And then it just let go.
It just let go, and then he swam to the dock and went to the hospital.
I thought
he's
you were supposed
okay.
to thumb their eyes out, if I'm not mistaken.
If a 12-foot gator gets you and wants to do it, he does whatever he wants with you. Mm. He will bring you underwater. Mm. He was confused, obviously, probably surprised that it was a human being. Who knows? But they're scary. They're scary. I see them all the time. 12 feet.
That's a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah, be careful.
That's two of me laying down.
Well, not always.
Well, no, I've always been 6 feet tall. Yeah. I'm just talking about the width.
I can't come to the party now because I'm at the bottom of the pond.
The shark attacks are similar to that,
right?
Are they mistaken?
They think you're prey. They think you're prey.
All right,
they eat you too. You know, sharks and gators can eat you.
So. Yeah. We're all hungry.
Yeah, sugar gliders too.
Yes, very, very dangerous. Mm-hmm. Yes.
If you have to find a 12-foot sugar glider is the only problem.
Just poke their eyes.
That's right. Let's close with this, Mike. This also was viral. A blind woman who was on a dating site was complaining that even though she was blind and she stated that she was blind, she was still getting D-pics in her email. And
that's not okay.
When she explains this,
that's not funny.
I think you're going to enjoy her explanation for what happens when you send a person who is visually challenged a picture of your private parts.
I'm blind and I get sent a lot of lower regional area pictures from guys. Maybe they don't believe I'm blind, but I rely on a screen reader to narrate my phone to me, and it also narrates images. And I have just received an image, and I have to share this with you. This is what my screen reader has described to me.
One face, probably a mushroom growing in the ground.
My
one face
God.
And probably a mushroom growing in the ground.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to send that to her.
That's all right, Mike. I think we can all forgive you, Mr. Busey. I have.
Very good. Yeah. Good luck to him. We got to take a powder. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate that. Hey, another shout out to Jim Amato and Mark Riddell for doing such a wonderful job. Oscar, thank you for bringing us Daniel Quarter. If you want a pirate ship, he's on Facebook, and he can sell you one, and you can put the Trump flags all over it.
Yes, sir.
That'll be a lot of fun. We'll see you tomorrow for Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana. Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ridiculous, humiliating, ludicrous, painful. Savage, brutal, cruel, and all false.
It's coming from the health sector. I just swallowed a bee.